So during our Lenten series, we're learning to become purveyors of awe, to curate a life of spiritual depth by making room for and promoting awe in our lives. And we discover that awe is indeed a precious good in the world and in our lives that we need to bring more of, that we need to bring more of its elements alive in us. Beauty, wonder, meaning, curiosity, delight, and today we're going to look at connection. For we human beings are made for relationship, for togetherness. In a time when we have been through one of the most isolating times in human history, we remember and are grateful for a renewed ability to seek connection. As long as we've been humans, we have been coming together to experience the collective sensations of togetherness. And Psalm 149 describes the traditional practice of the worship of God. Verse 1 says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. The psalmist calls all of God's people to come together to praise God. The gathering or assembling of God's people is a significant part of our corporate worship and our corporate witness to the world. For the people of Israel, it was the initial gatherings that God gave them his covenants and his laws. It was in those early gatherings that Moses passed along the expectations for the community. Throughout the history of Israel, they were expected to what? Assemble at the temple to offer sacrifices and worship God. Their assembly mattered. What they did at their assembly mattered. And for us as Christians, our assembly, our gathering matters as well. It identifies us together as a unit. It makes us distinct from other congregations, but it also is a means of us honoring and glorifying God in our way. Jonathan Lehman, author of the book One Assembly, he wrote this. He said, the gathering of a local church is an outpost or embassy of heaven. Through preaching and the ordinances, Jesus publicly identifies himself with us in the gatherings. I am there among them, he said. He tied his authority to the gatherings. In this psalm, Israel is called to gather together to praise Yahweh, to praise the Lord. It's just one of the things they're supposed to do together. It's also one of the things we're supposed to do together as well. And when we praise God together, we get to praise God in a few different ways. Verses 2 and 3 says this, let Israel be glad in its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. First of all, the psalmist calls us to praise God as creator. This is a specific call to recognize God as the creator of all there is. Everything that exists in nature and in the universe exists because God created it or ordained it. And he created people especially unique because God created humans in his own image. And how wonderfully made we are. And not only is Israel charged to rejoice in their creator, they are charged to praise God as sovereign. For the people of Israel, especially in the early parts of their history, they were a theocracy. In other words, God was their king. When Israel rejected God as king, various human surrogate kings were put in place. Yet it seems that the psalmist here is calling for the people to acknowledge God as their one true king, their one true ruler, their one true sovereign. We need to acknowledge God as our one true king and praise him as such. But more than just praising God as creator and king, the psalmist urges God's people to praise God with movement. Our singing should invite more than just our mouth. The psalmist calls God people to dance. But, you know, do we really move or dance? Are we truly celebrating God in our worship? Our worship, our singing should involve not only our lips moving, but we should be worshiping with our whole bodies. Our whole body should be praising God. Our praise of God should prompt us to move, whether it might be clapping our hands, maybe we're moving our feet, or maybe we're even lifting our hands in praise. Maybe even dancing before the Lord. There is a place for stoic reverence, but there's also a place for joyful exuberance. Let us praise God with what? Our whole body. Then the psalmist concludes this section with a beautiful and profound verse, verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. In some ways, it seems like this verse summarizes the previous verses. Think about it. God takes pleasure in his people. God delights in our praise. He delights in us when we acknowledge who he is. He delights in our singing, whether it's in tune or possibly out of tune. Because God says what? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, right? God delights in his people. He delights in us. And his delight, and he delights when we come together to worship and give praise to him together. Now, I don't know if many of you, have you gone to a baseball game? I think most of you have, right? And you remember that there's a part where there's a seven inning stretch, right? And what does everyone do? They stand up, right? And then what comes on? They sing. Take me out to the ball game, right? And everyone is singing it together. You notice that? They're doing it what? Together. And how did you feel when you were in the middle of that experience? Right? Yeah. Or when you participate in what? The wave. Remember the wave? Right? It kind of might start out small, but all of a sudden, somebody starts, and then what happens? Everyone jumps in, and from one end, right? And then woo, doo, 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 and everyone all of a sudden is what? Standing up, and the arms are going up. They're doing it what? Together. Or maybe when you go, and all of a sudden you see people line dancing, and what happens? You jump up, and you start joining them, right? Doesn't matter. There are people, and you know, you might shake your heads, but if your friend is pulling you out there, somebody's pulling you out there, and you start doing it, doesn't matter what you're just doing it with other people, you know? And look, there's a guy there that doesn't look like the rest of them with the hat and all that, but guess what? He's watching them, and he's trying, right? Okay, there's a sense of shared joy and harmony, a sense of being a part of something larger than ourselves. That's what we feel in those type of moments. And this is what sociologists call collective effervescence. And collective effervescence is described as the sense of energy and harmony people feel when they come together in a group around a shared purpose. So I read this article. It's in the New York Times. It's by a contributor by the name of Adam Grant. And it was entitled, There's a Special Kind of Joy We've Been Missing. It was published on July 10th, 2021. So we're talking just the pandemic's happening, and we're just kind of coming out of it, but not quite yet kind of coming out of it, right? This is about a year after everything kind of shut down. And he talks about the joy of being in crowds. It's what we've been missing. A joy that we didn't experience during the worst of the pandemic. And Grant found this joy at a concert with 1,500 other fans. And this is what he said about it. That research has found that people laugh 5 times as often when they're with others than when they're alone. Even exchanging pleasantries with a stranger on a train is enough to spark joy. Peak happiness lies mostly in collective activity. We find our greatest bliss in moments of collective effervescence. It's the sense of energy and harmony people feel when they come together in a group around a shared purpose. Collective effervescence is a synchrony you feel when you slide into rhythm with strangers on a dance floor, colleagues in a brainstorming session, cousins at a religious service, or teammates on a soccer field. And during this pandemic, it largely feels absent. It's been largely absent from our lives. And isn't that true? We were missing the connectedness, that togetherness, the relationships when we were on the during the pandemic. When we held church services by Zoom, there was a difference between being on little boxes on a screen than as opposed to being in a room with your fellow worshipers. The content of each of these events is the same, right? We all heard the same sermon, we heard the same songs, we had the same prayer, yet experiencing them together in person made such a big difference. So I noticed this during our presbytery meetings. So as a pastor and a member of the presbytery, our presbytery is North Central California Presbytery, I would attend these presbytery meetings 4 times a year. And during the pandemic, we were meeting by Zoom. And we continued to do that until last September, until 2024, when they decided they were going to do the presbytery meeting in person. And so we finally met in person at the church in Stockton. And I will say it was a moving experience. It was because we were in the same room with other people. We worshiped together. We conducted business together, but we did it face to face. There was no Zoom at this because it was too hard to be able to vote and take care of business by Zoom and in person. And so it was just in person. And it was such a different experience because a lot of times when you're on Zoom, sometimes you feel like an outside observer looking in. But when you're there in person, what I felt was a deep connection to the presbytery and to the folks who were there. It was very meaningful and a moving experience for me because it reminded me that God created us to be in relationship with Him and with others, to be connected to one another, to gather together. Connection is something we long for and something we miss. We need to stay connected to God and to each other. And there we go. Connection. But we need to stay connected to God and to each other, and then we can help others connect to God. But how do we stay connected to God? Well, so questions for you. Where do you find personal connection with God? What connects you to God? Maybe it's what? Reading God's word. Could be prayer. Serving others. Attending worship service or Bible study. Listening to Christian music. Spending time in God's creation. Singing hymns to God. Showing gratitude for the big and little things. Whatever it is, you need to do it, and you need to continue to do it and do more of it. As Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. For us to live our lives for God, to do God's work, to love others, we need to stay connected to God and God's life-giving love and power. But we also need to stay connected to each other. So where do you find connection with others? What connects you to others? Maybe it's coming to worship service each Sunday. Maybe staying for the fellowship time afterwards as we sit and talk around the tables. It's attending Bible study each week and talking and sharing about what the Bible and what God means to us. Maybe it's helping at our food pantry, knowing that what we're doing is helping those folks who come and to be able to chat with each other as well. Gathering with folks over a meal. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says this, And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Encourage, meet together. We need to stay connected to God. We need to stay connected to one another as well. Connection, togetherness. I found this picture that I liked and I want to share it with you. And it says this: we are better together. Life is not meant to be done alone. Amen to that, isn't it? Yeah, because life was not meant to be done alone. Life was meant to be lived together with God and with each other. We are better together, and we are better with God. So let's praise God with all we are and with all that we have in us. Let's make connections with God and with others. Let's deepen those relationships we have with God and with one another. For our lives are made richer as we gather as one body of Christ, as we sing and move, maybe even clap our hands or dance. You never know how the Spirit moves. As we offer prayers together as a faith community here in Marysville and in the world, we are better together. So let's live that out.